Thank you very much for joining us, Professor King. It's wonderful to have you here in Canada. First of all, perhaps I'd like to ask you about science advice in the government and the public perception thereof. How, in your experience, the public has tended to react to science advice in the government?
I joined government just after the BSE crisis had really hit the fan, as it were. And the result was, I think, a loss of trust of the public in the science advisory system. And basically, that loss of trust had some foundation to it. It's quite clear that science advice within government, in order to gain public trust, needs to demonstrate openness, honesty, transparency all the way down the line. If the scientist enters the public domain stating what the government ministers or prime minister want them to say, then you're inverting the advisory system. And that's the Phillips Commission report conclusion into the BSE crisis. So I entered reading the Phillips report, and that became my sort of Bible for my period in government. Openness, honesty, transparency, and maintaining public trust at the same time as the trust of the ministers you're working with. That was the difficult part of that process. It's a tight wire that you're walking along, and you have to be aware of the fact that if you're going into the public domain with a piece of advice that makes ministers uncomfortable, that you are dealing with it correctly and properly, and you have to have a lot of confidence in what you're doing.
Yeah, I can imagine so. It's a bit of a balancing act as well. Did you find, for the most part, that government heeded your advice?
There was, to be honest, only one occasion on which my advice wasn't followed, and that was in the run-up to the Energy White Paper in the year 2003, where I was of the opinion, and I had gone into the public domain saying this, that we could not manage to reduce our emissions of carbon dioxide by 60% by 2050 without new nuclear build. Mm-hmm. And that piece of the White Paper that referred to nuclear build was pulled at the last minute, and the White Paper appeared without it.
Right.
Now, subsequently, in 2007, we had another Energy White Paper, which went down the route of acknowledging that we need nuclear power. So even in that case, I would say in the end, government backed what the science advice said. So the answer to your question is, governments need science advice. And by science advice, it's not the civil servants who've come up through the system. It's scientists who come across from the university sector. The university sector has an academic knowledge base that is simply not available to governments. And providing that academic knowledge base, which is international, scientists, engineers, physicists, economists, social scientists communicate with each other around the world from their university positions. Being able to take that into government is absolutely vital for better government decision making. And I think that's what I spent my 7.5 years in government trying to do.